from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 17, after the widow of Zarephath and Elijah and her son had found nourishment together. It says that after this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. The son did. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her bosom and carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and he laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity upon the widow with whom I'm staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come to him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he was revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and he gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, and it is truth." And from the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7, I'll begin here reading with verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son. She was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and stretched and touched the bier. And the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably upon his people." This word spread about him throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. Friends and church, this is the word of the Lord. Jewish Rabbi Harold Kushner was the clergy leader for a large church of some 600 families. He had reached the pinnacle of his priestly order, of his calling to minister to a flock, to a congregation of worshipers. Kushner was the go-to person when people had theological questions, brokenness in their marriage, challenges at home and at work, when they were searching for answers to the questions that life presents to all of us. Kushner was good at answering the questions, until one day when the questions came home to him. His 14-year-old son Aaron died, and Kushner found himself in the depths of grief that he'd only spoke to his parishioners before. He lived it for the first time in a way. There was a pain. There was a peril. The darkness was all around. Kushner found himself, as many of us would and have at times of grief and sorrow, in the brokenness of family, encapsulated and paralyzed by the why of the tragedy. Kushner would eventually work through the grief and the brokenness, never finding complete healing, but working and living and managing with the grief, and ultimately penned a book that became a national New York Times bestseller, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Kushner said, and in the climax of the book, he goes on to say that what I found throughout the journey in my life, in my grief, in the grief of those that I ministered to, is that so often we never find peace. We never find comfort. We never find the answer to the question, why? Instead, Kushner said, when I started finding restoration and love again in my heart, and yes, forgiveness to God, forgiving God for letting me down, Kushner would say, it's when I got beyond the why and turned to the what of the tragedy. Not why did it happen, but now that it has happened, what am I going to do? Or better yet, what am I going to do with God? Kushner's not the first to ask. In the depths of brokenness and grief and sorrow, in the pains of life, whether it be a death, a loss of someone dear to us, or a loss of employment, or an illness to a child or a family member, something that grips us all is unfair and brokenness in relationships. I've certainly had my own whys in my journey, and I'm sure that you have. The seriousness of the whys of Manya and me when we had a young child born and just months into that found out he was deaf. Why? Why can't he hear? The whys of Luke being diagnosed with serious allergies that could take his life. And then the whys that can be simply and often overlooked, the whys of why we strike out at home plate or don't make the school basketball team. The big whys and the little whys of life. We've all faced those. And it's challenged us, when we're really honest, to question at the very depths, where, even more than why, where is God? It certainly was the question in our scripture. It must have been the question for the woman who lost her son in the Gospel of Luke as she journeyed outside of the city, being a widow, no one else to care for her. She lost the only security she had in her child. I can only imagine the why that engulfed her life. And certainly we don't have to read into the text from 1 Kings that I shared with us. We don't have to assume that Elijah was asking whys, because it's laid out before us right here in Holy Scripture that as the woman questioned Elijah, Elijah raised the same question to God. Why, Lord, have you brought this calamity upon us? Why have you brought me here to minister to this woman and her son, only to see him grip in the grip of death? Why? You know, somehow I find hope in the whys of Elijah there, that even one who was a great man of God, a prophet for the Lord on high, even this great person of faith, at his depths, at his brokenness, he was filled with why. And so we all do. At some point on our journey, find ourselves crippled with that question and searching for that answer. And you know, as we reflect upon these scriptures today, as I strive to preach with you this morning, I still and likely never will have the answers to why. But I think our scripture does give us indications and answers of where God is in our brokenness, in our grief, in our pain of life. Let's examine again the message of faith that we find in these two readings. First, what we find when we're faced with tragedy, when we're faced with questions in life, we find this answer that Jesus' nature in the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus is filled with compassion. As he saw the mother, as his eyes came upon the widow at the grief and loss of her child, the Holy Scripture tells us that Jesus, the Lord of life, the giver of salvation, was filled with compassion. See, those are words of hope to me. That as much as we can ask God, why did this happen? Or where were you? We do know this, that Jesus cares and hurts with us when we hurt. Maybe we don't know why, but we know that when it happens, God is there. The theological word for compassion is providence. A great theological word that says to us that God gives us even what we don't ask for. Do you see the providence in the gospel reading today? The scripture tells us that as Jesus came into the town, the woman had not called out to Jesus. She had not requested him to deliver her son. She had not uttered her complaint or her need before her holy God. She was simply in her grief, not asking for anything. And Jesus saw her and delivered her from her brokenness. Friends, that's providence. Coming to us when we don't even ask, and offering the gift of his love called compassion. That's where God is in our lives, in the tragedies that we face, in the challenges that are thrown upon us. The first lesson of scripture is that God is there with us. Secondly, the scripture tells us that not only does God give us what we don't ask for, but as Elijah points out in the reading from 1 Kings, God also gives us what we do ask for. In other words, friends, God answers prayers. Elijah cried out in his why, in his question before God. He asked, why have you done this? And God, the scripture tells us, the Holy Father above heard Elijah's plea and he restored the son to health. See, what I gain from that is this reminder that I must hear, friends, when I have questions in my own life, when I'm plagued with the whys and the peril of family. The question that we hear answered from Elijah is that, yes, God hears our prayers and God answers our prayers. Miracles still happen. Now friends, I can't stand before you and say I understand why they happen or how they happen and why some miracles do and others don't. Why are some people delivered from their peril and others are not? Why are some sicknesses overcome and others are not? Why and how? We don't understand. We only know that God does answer. So what it says to me as a person of faith, not even as your pastor, not even as a leader in this congregation, it says to me as a broken vessel and servant of God that when I'm faced with why, Jody, keep praying. Keep believing. Because God is still answering. You know, I visited with a friend recently whose wife has been deathly ill. And his grief and his anger toward God has been overwhelming. He said, because she's the best person I know. She doesn't deserve this. We've heard that story time and again. And I asked this lovely lady as I visited with them, I said, have you prayed for a miracle? She just kind of laughed and embarrassed, said, oh no, I just want God's will to be done, and whatever He thinks best, I'm at peace with. And my response was, why not? Let's pray for a miracle. Let's ask God for His grace to bear in your life. And let's believe that it will come. Let's know that it will come. You will be restored from this illness. If not on this side of glory, then certainly in that heavenly realm. But selfishly, we ask for it even now, and we cry out to God because He still answers prayers. That's the second lesson of our scripture. The first being, God comes to us in compassion and gives us what we don't ask for. But even here in the spirit of Elijah, God also gives us what we do ask for. So pray, church. Trust in His grace and wisdom. And finally, the last lesson of this scripture in our whys and the questions of faith and family and life. One other lesson that we learn is that in all of it, the good, the bad, the tragedy, and the triumph, the death, and the life, in all of it, friends, God works for good. You see, I don't believe it's all good. And I don't believe that God does it all, claiming every individual tragedy as His own. No, I think that God's presence in our brokenness is to restore us and to sustain us and to overcome the brokenness of this world. God works for good. We see it in our gospel today that as Jesus restored the child, as He took the death and turned it into a life, that what was the response? The people glorified God and spread the news of Jesus. Similarly, in the King's text, where Elijah restored the child, the woman's response was this, surely I see now that you are a man of God. And she glorified and praise the Lord of God. God transforms good from the bad. That's where He is in the wise. God is working for our best interest. That same scripture that Paul writes in Romans 8, where he says to us that nothing, nothing, my friends, can separate us from His love. Not peril, not brokenness, not life, nor death. For nothing in all creation can separate us from His love, because this, He works for good in everything. You know, as I read the end of Harold Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, of all that Kushner wrote in that fable story, what was most meaningful to me was not what he said inside the book, but what he said on the outside of the book. The title of his reflections was not why bad things happen to good people. You see, Kushner didn't raise that question in his title because Kushner didn't know the answer. What he did know was that when bad things happen, God is there. So we, like Harold Kushner, friends of faith and believers in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, we too don't know why bad things happen. But when they do, we know that God is there, sustaining us and overcoming the bad, working for good every step of the journey, every stitch of the scene. To God be glory now and forever. Amen.